Good afternoon. Welcome to the Football Full Disclosure. This is episode 6, and we are talking game week 11. Talking to you is Dean Sanusi and Marty Bailey.
Hello.
Hello there. How are we doing?
Doing well.
I can see the moustache.
I know, I've gone for it. It's Movember, isn't it?
It's Movember. Yeah, we've got moustaches around the school.
Yeah, I'm having a go.
It's looking good. Thanks. It's looking good. Yeah. Can you see mine?
I can, yeah. Also looking good.
Thank you very much. There we go.
We're all going to be looking very village people by the end of the end of the month, aren't we?
Yeah, come in with the costumes and everything. So, game week 11. It's been a good week, hasn't it?
Yeah,
for us.
For us, a great weekend again. Couldn't have asked for better results, really.
No. So, let's head over to the Amex Stadium. And we never knew that Lightning could strike twice, but it has. And Brighton, thank you, Brighton. They did a job for us. They did a job for Liverpool, I should say. Let's give it some context first. So Brighton were unbeaten at home before this game. And City were looking at 4 straight losses. And this would have been the first in Pep's career. And what happens? It's brilliant. You know, City go up. You know, they score the first goal. Haaland, you know, thank you, Haaland, for the fantasy football. But, you know, I think thereafter the first half, it's all Brighton, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we all know Brighton. Certainly, the last few seasons have been great. They're looking good this season. They were unlucky against us.
They were.
And Man City are fragile. I mean, they lose last week. You say this is 4 on the bounce now.
It's 4 on the bounce. I mean,
almost unheard of. Well, it is unheard of, isn't it?
It is for Pep.
Exactly.
I mean,
so
13 fit players. You know, this is still he's still peddling this idea that he doesn't have a full squad. You know, do we buy that?
No, I don't buy that. He only had 2 people on his bench.
I know, right?
No, I don't believe that at all.
So we have no sympathy for Pep and the conglomerate that is Man City. Not a lot of sympathy, but you know you have to give the juice to Brighton. They did a job. You know, it was goals from João Pedro, O'Reilly, who I've never heard of before, but you know he was bought from Celtic. But I think one of the main things for Brighton was a player. He came on. His name was Baleba. He plays only 4 to 5 minutes, but he's leading for interceptions. He's leading passes. He's leading passes completed. He's leading tackles, touches, everything. You know, this guy comes in and does the job for Brighton. And absolutely, I think, you know, he blows City away. They just can't touch the ball. You know, it's a tough, tough game for them. And, you know, it goes to show how much they miss. You know, we've spoken about this guy before, Rodri.
Yep, he gets brought up a lot and it's, you know, every week it's the same thing, isn't it? But I mean, it's
can you put it down to one guy?
Well, how can it be one player though? This is the thing.
He's that good.
I know he is that good, but I mean, come on.
He is the Ballon d'Or winner. He is that good. Statistically speaking, he is that good.
I mean, this week Brighton, okay. I mean, I wouldn't. You know, we talked about it last week. The Bournemouth one, I wouldn't have seen that coming. I know they look a bit fragile, but even so, they should be beating Bournemouth. Okay. You lose to Brighton at home. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You're not at your best, but nevertheless, I mean, they still have more of the game again, more shots at least, not as many clear-cut chances.
No.
But, you know, they're not putting them away. They're not doing what they usually do. And they're not keeping the goals out, and that's the big thing.
Haaland looked frustrated. I think that's the big thing. Yes, he gets a goal, but he looks so frustrated. You know, and I think Haaland in the past is quite content with not touching the ball. But something about him this time kind of looks, you know, he even gets in a tussle with one of the Brighton defenders. And it's, you know, it's just, you know, things crumbling for City.
Well, this will show their character, won't it?
Because I think so.
How many times have they been in this situation off the back of 4 losses? Can they pick themselves up and get back to winning ways again? Mm. Or are they going to keep dropping points? I mean, a couple more losses and, you know, I don't want to say the title race is...
Because we've seen what
they can do before.
We know what they can do.
They can win the next
18 games.
Yeah, exactly. They can absolutely win every game until the end of the season. And there's a good chance that certainly Liverpool will drop points somewhere along the line. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it keeps going on and they're just kind of lucking results here and there and then just having bad performances and getting a few more losses, then, you know, is that confidence?
Yeah.
Are they going to lose it? Are they going to be able to keep that... You know, get that back and
the post-match interview, the Brighton manager actually says he wants to challenge the establishment. They're currently sitting 4th place, so...
2 of the people, actually. he must be saying this in the dressing room because he said it and I can't remember who the other player
was. Somebody else
being interviewed also brought up the term establishment.
Establishment, what does that mean? You know, the old top 4? Liverpool, I think so. Arsenal, Manchester United, they've not been in there for a while, have they?
No, Chelsea haven't been there for a while.
So, you know, the establishment is changing, you know, and you look at Forest, you look at, you know, Brighton, you know, these are teams that could, you know, they could challenge. You know, I'm not sure if they're challenged for the top four. Well, they are right now, but, you know, they're very much doing a good job. But these teams have to keep a hold of their managers. They've got very good managers. And, you know, if history repeats itself, you know, I don't see this guy who's doing a good job of Brighton staying at Brighton in the long run.
Well, this is what usually happens. Happened with Potter, didn't it? When Potter was doing an incredible job at Brighton, and it didn't take long before somebody else came calling and said, right, come and play with us. Grass isn't always greener on the other side, though, as Potter found out. And I think it's... Brighton have got a good... They run well. We've said this before as well. They run well.
And
they do things very well behind the scenes. That's really important. If I'm a manager, I'm thinking, well, this is nice. This is a nice, secure place where everything behind the scenes is as it should be.
Yes.
You know, I'm getting the support I need. You stick with it and keep the good times going, I think.
There you go. So good luck to Brighton. There are any Brighton supporters out there. You know, well done. You're doing a job for us. Obviously, you lost to us, but thank you very much for beating City because it's looking good. So we're going to head over to Anfield because... you know, we very much capitalized on that. We were facing a very, very, very tough, well-organized Villa side. And we capitalized goals from Nunez and Salah saw us with a 2-0 win at Anfield. So what do you think? Is this our season? Is it too early to be talking like that?
I don't want to start saying things like that right now, no, because... as we said, we know what City can do, and it would not be the first time that we've had a really good start and then... thrown it away. So I'm not going to get involved in that kind of conversation right now, but I am happy with what I'm seeing. I mean, even when we're not playing particularly well, we still are managing to get results. And that's the trick, isn't it? When you're not playing like really, really, really well, and you're still getting the results you need. Now, we played Villa at a good time because we know they've had a couple of bad results. Yes. And we also mentioned this last week.
Yes.
This was a good time to be playing them.
Mm-hmm.
But they had spells of the game when they looked
pretty
good.
They did.
You know, a couple of good saves from Kelleher kept us in that game as well. So it could have been a different result. Glad to see Nunez getting a goal, though.
I think so. It was, you know, you mentioned Nunez. You know, we stopped and we had a special mention for Nunez because he never stopped running. And, you know, that was a chance that could have ended in a red card for whoever it was that pulled Salah back. But Nunez, you know, he persevered, he carried on. It was a smart finish as well. You know, he kind of just dips
it over.
I think for me, the best keeper, if not the second best keeper in the Premier League, in Martinez. So, you know, he's it was a very, very well taken goal. And the boy works hard. He never stops running.
He never stops running. I'll be honest, when he knocked it around the keeper, I thought he'd taken it too far.
I was like, oh no,
what have you done?
I know.
But then that was a great finish in the end. And then, you know, he gets that opportunity later on.
He missed a couple, didn't he?
And then it's just like, oh, Nunez.
But you know what it is? His movement's good. He always seems to find himself in the right positions to score goals. And, you know, I think they spoke about, for example, Andy Cole. Andy Cole is a, you know, well-known striker who scored bags and bags of goals in the Premier League. And that was always Andy Cole's criticism. He gets a lot of chances, but he doesn't put them away. And you know what Alex Ferguson said? Give me a striker who gets chances. No, I'll take him. And that, I think that's Nunez. He's getting chances. He gets himself in the right position. I think, you know, we have to respect that. And yes, he doesn't put, you know, he's not scoring half of them, but look at Haaland. Haaland's another one. He gets an awful lot of chances and he misses an awful lot, but we don't speak about Haaland missing, you know, 8 big chances, for example, he might have had in a period of a game, for example. So, you know,
I think Nunez does get singled out unfairly. I mean, he does. I think it's because of the misses that he's had in the past, like sitters where, like, how could you have missed that?
It's harder to miss, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, than it is to put it in the back of the net. And I think maybe that's why it's highlighted more. But you're absolutely right, because, yeah, there are other strikers who get a lot of chances and don't take them. Maybe get that one goal, could have had a hat-trick, could have had 4.
Yes.
But, you know, they didn't, they missed those. Yes, he did have a couple of good chances, but yeah, as you said, his movement, for that header as well, the way he swivels around to the back and then gets it. You know, another day that goes in, doesn't it?
Get in
those positions, work hard for the team, and as long as you, get a goal, get two goals, great, fantastic.
And he's getting the goals, you know, they come in. But even if he doesn't get the goal, he's assisting, he's working hard, and that's what we like to see. We want to see him working hard, we want to see him working for the team, essentially. But, you know, what I liked about that win against Villa was we didn't chase the win. We got our goal, but it was a controlled game. It wasn't, you know, we weren't gung-ho. We weren't there, you know, running in, trying to get another goal. It was a well-controlled game. And I think this is what Slot has done. You know, Slot has passed the test and more. You know, he looks, you know, I think I said this last week, he looks the real deal. And he might be the real deal. I think it's time we stop saying, you know, is Slot a good manager? Slot, I think, he's a top manager. We have to take him seriously.
I noticed something, I've noticed it for a while, but it kind of got highlighted recently. If you want to know what's going to happen in football, like a predictor for what's going to happen in football, you basically just go with the opposite of whatever Paul Merson says. Because whenever he says anything, it's basically like, no, Liverpool, they've got nothing. They can't, you know, nothing's going to happen. No, Slot, it's too early. He's not going to do anything. Bye-bye. It's going to be, they'll be lucky to be doing it. And like, we are running away with it. Pretty much everything he says, just go with the opposite and you'll know exactly what's going to happen for the rest of the season.
I like that philosophy. Listen to Paul Merson and do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
There we go. All right, so let's head over to the G-Tech Stadium where Brentford face Bournemouth. So the G-Tech Stadium, I saw a statistic where I think 39 goals have been scored at the G-Tech Stadium. So if anyone out there is, you know, looking for a Premier League game to watch, you know, other than going to Anfield, of course, I think go to the G-Tech Stadium because you are going to get bags and bags and bags of goals because it seems to be, you know, a stadium or a team that just can't keep a clean sheet. Obviously, it was Brentford-Bournemouth and Brentford were lucky with the 3-2 win, you know, two goals from Wissa.
Yeah, Wissa doing Wissa things. He's back again, isn't he?
He's doing his thing. But Brentford, my gosh, they can't keep a clean sheet, can they?
They can't. It's exciting watching as a neutral.
We love it.
Because lots of these 5-6, you know, goal thrillers, not always going their way. This time it did, though. Mm. And again, these are against Bournemouth. Brentford will think they can get results, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this was after, obviously, Brentford being shocked at Craven Cottage. They were leading for much of the game and, you know, Fulham came back and scored two late goals. And Bournemouth coming from the high of beating City. So this is, you know, this were two teams who needed a result. Well, not needed a result, but, you know, were coming into this game with very different motivations or very different feelings. And, you know, Brentford, they've done very well. I think it's good to see them, you know, getting the result that they deserve at home. But, oh, yeah. You know, I want to point out there's a player for Brentford, Mikko Damsgaard, who seems to be the quiet player. I know we talk about Wissa, we talk about Brian Mbeumo quite a lot, but I think Mikko Damsgaard, he's the Danish, who seems to be doing, you know, he's doing a quiet job. You know, he's assisting. I think he got a goal in that game, but I think, you know, he's doing a job there, and he might be going under the radar a little bit for certain people. So I think keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah,
especially if you are.
He was stopping a lot of the stats.
Yeah, he was. If you're privy to the to your fantasy football, maybe keep an eye on the old Mikael Damsgaard. Anyway, let's head over to Molineux, where Wolves hosted Southampton, and finally,
they have their win.
The manager we've been speaking about for quite a bit, Gary O'Neill, finally has a win. So Gary O'Neill, he will be chuffed.
He'll be really chuffed because they did not have a lot of the game in terms of possession.
No.
Pretty even on the old shots, but they had more on target.
They got lucky with the disallowed goal as well. Southampton scored a goal that was disallowed for a foul of some reason. I think, again, VAR doing the job that it should be doing? I'm not sure. You know, we spoke about VAR previously, but anyway, Gary O'Neill will be happy. You know, he's not going to care about anything like that.
No, well, he knows he's got quality in his team. Cunha is a quality player.
He's a very good player.
Do nice and special things for the team. He will be happy. He needed that. And hopefully this will be the springboard for him to rack up a few more results. Because, of course, we talk about this run that they're on. They've had maybe the toughest start you could possibly get in the Premier League. And he's now moving into a place where this is where he needs to be picking up points. Mm. And he's done that against a team that he certainly should be at home.
Almost definitely.
Picking up points against.
They've got a tough game with them. I think they're facing Fulham next, which isn't going to be an easy game for them. But it's a game they can win.
But it's one they can be competitive in, for sure. And this is
absolutely. So anyway, let's head over. Oh, talking about London, another two London sides. So that was Selhurst Park. And Palace was hosting Fulham. And oh gosh, Palace!
Well, you said it's not last week good for Palace, is who it? Else could be for the drop if it's not?
I think it's looking like Palace.
It, you know, it could be, couldn't it?
It could be
because they're kind of don't seem to be gelling very well at the moment.
No,
do they?
They've got the players. They signed quite a few players over the summer. I think, for example, Edin Ketir, for example, Chalobah, for example. They've signed decent players with Premier League experience, but you know, and they ended last season as well on a high. You know, Glasner, you know, came from Frankfurt in Germany. You know, he's a very good manager, but things don't seem to be going well for him right now. And what they don't want is they don't want to, for example, sleepwalk into a relegation battle. And that's what's looking like it's happening to them. Mm. They're sleepwalking into a relegation battle. But Fulham, you know, once again, you're Fulham, obviously, coming from a hive, coming back. And Harry Wilson, what does he have to do to get a start? He didn't start that game.
I know he didn't start that game. He comes on as a sub again and scores within again. Minutes kind of thing. Yeah, I know. Incredible. Quite incredible, isn't it? I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I think he certainly deserves a start. Mm. You know, some players are like that, though, aren't they?
I think so.
They just, you know, they're the real super subs that you bring them on and they just do special things.
I think players like that, you know, I think Duran, for example, he's another one. We've, you know, in the past, Liverpool have had a few. Ryan Babel is the one I remember from recent memory. I think players like that, maybe they benefit a lot more from sitting back, watching the game, understand the game, and then seeing how they can influence the game. But Harry Wilson, I mean, he's gonna be angry. He's gonna be angry that he didn't start. He came on. He scored again. You know, and now obviously with the international break, he's gonna be speaking to his manager like, I need to start.
Yeah, well, I mean, he left. He was at Liverpool, of course, and he left Liverpool to get game time. Now, I liked him at Liverpool. I mean, yeah,
I did.
Difficult to get into the team that we've got now, right? Of course, but. I thought he's a player of a lot of quality. Mm. So you want to see him starting games. I think he certainly deserves to be starting games. Mm. So yeah, he's going to give the manager a question. Yeah. And hopefully he'll get his chance, but you've got to take it, haven't you?
You've got to take it. So. And this is actually Fulham's most points in the top flight since 1960. And it's showing, you know, they're having a very, very good, a very good season by Fulham standards. But, you know, what happens with Palace? You know, I think, you know, let's hope they don't panic and get in Roy Hodgson. As Palace seems to do.
When
you
in doubt, like, bring Roy back.
They'll bring Roy back. How many times was that been now? Bringing Roy back. You know, when things are bad, bring back Roy. So let's hope maybe it doesn't come to that, because Roy is old. Roy needs to retire. Roy should stay in retirement. And I don't think we should be bringing back the old man into a very stressful situation of saving Palace. So let's head over anyway to the London Stadium. Oh gosh, that was West Ham and Everton. Marty, I can tell you right now, if they were still playing, that game would be 0-0. It was that bad. It was a shocker. I actually tuned into the game a couple of times and it was 0-0. And then I tuned in again and it was 0-0. And it just looked like they were just going through the motions, just passing the ball around. I mean, there were a few chances here and there. Pickford really saved Everton. You know, some big, big saves. But my gosh, it was a terrible game.
There were quite a lot of shots in the game.
I mean, yeah, no substance.
No, with no substance, maybe. Yeah, just like shooting it from anywhere, maybe. Yeah. But, I mean, Everton had 18 and West Ham had 11. But I mean, it just goes to show the quality of
the quality, exactly.
In the final third, if it was that boring, it's like there's quite a few shots, but just nothing happened.
Nothing happened. So we're gonna move
swiftly on,
very swiftly on to Old Trafford, and United were facing Leicester, and United, obviously they've reacted to their new manager coming in. But why would they react now? Because, they turned over Leicester 3-0. That was goals from Bruno Fernandes, two goals from Bruno Fernandes, the captain, who's now, for some reason, he stepped up. But where's he been?
Where has he been? Where is exactly. He been? We said this last week. You know, if I'm Ten Hag, I'm thinking...
I'm angry.
Yeah, why?
Where was that?
Why weren't you doing this for me? Like, just going out there and showing a bit of passion.
Two very good goals. Two very, very well-taken goals as well. And, you know, another goal came from Garnacho. But my gosh, I mean, what does it say about them? Like, you know, they play this well for Ruud van Nistelrooy. What's the difference? What's the difference in having Ruud van Nistelrooy and Ten Hag all this time? He's not showed up. You know, he's come out, you know, Fernandes, blaming himself, saying he takes full, but you know, he takes the blame for Ten Hag getting fired and everything else like that. But where were you? You know, he's the captain. And, you know, he's gone haywire, but now that the manager's disappeared and manager's been fired, now he steps it up a little bit. Because is it because another Portuguese manager's coming in? Because another top manager's coming in?
Well, as you said, is it like, right, okay, the manager's out, now we've got to impress to keep our places in the team. But again, you don't want that to be the case, do you?
You've got to be fighting
for the shirt all the time as a player.
No.
And if you're not doing that, then that says a lot about the, you know, the kind of person you are. You know where I stand on this anyway.
I agree with you. I understand. But I think, you know, I think Amorim is watching this and thinking to himself, who can I trust? You know, who can I trust when things aren't going our way? And I can tell you right now, Fernandes is a player he cannot trust when things are not going their way. Because he stepped up when, you know, all the chips are now in his, you know, in his favor. But, you know, when things weren't going his way, he was whinging, he was complaining, you know, he was throwing his arms up and everything else like that. But also particularly playing very badly. But now, well, anyway.
I remember seeing an interview with Phil Jones quite recently, and who played with Fernandes, who said, you know, the criticism he's getting isn't fair. And he is a good captain, and, you know, he's a good voice in the dressing room and all this kind of thing. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've got to be honest. I don't completely believe that either. But, I mean, we can only see what we can see.
On the pitch.
And on the pitch.
That's where you need him. You need him on the pitch.
The manager's in the dressing room.
We need him on the pitch. Mm. You know, we need him on the pitch. And some captains are like that, aren't they? Some captains are just more, you know, they might be quiet in the dressing room, but actually they get on the pitch and they're very different players. And I think, by all accounts, Steven Gerrard was very much like that. You know, he was a guy that could grab a game by the scruff of the neck and just take complete control. And Bruno Fernandes, as a captain, yeah, okay, you're great. You're great in the dressing room, but where were you on the pitch? Where were you on the pitch when the team was doing so badly all of those months, all of those weeks? But now that the manager's gone, and someone else is coming in, now you somehow, you know, you find that motivation again. I don't know. I don't buy that. But.
No, I don't buy that either. And I think that, yeah, absolutely. That's when the manager needs you. Your lead, you need to lead on the pitch. I can shout from the touchline, but when you're on there, you need to get people motivated.
There we go.
You need to be keep bringing them up and not bringing them down, which I feel is exactly what he does. That's certainly what it looks like.
He brings them down, doesn't he? But anyway, let's move swiftly on, because I think our United bias might be coming out ever so slightly, just a little bit. But anyway, let's head over to the City Ground where Forest hosted Newcastle. This was a surprise, wasn't it? You know, we've been seeing a Forest side doing particularly well, but actually Newcastle showed up and did a job on them. They seemed to catch him they kept getting him on a break. You know, I think, you know, this was, it was goals from Isak, who got, you know, this is 4-4 for him. So he's having, you know, a very good stint right now. But yeah, what happened to Forest?
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle, again, good side, aren't they? They are a good side. And when they turn up, they turn up and they can do it. A bit like Spurs, right? They can, you know, they can win against most teams, but they've got to turn up for it. And they turned up for this one and they pretty much dominated Forest, didn't they? Forest, who have been playing well. But of course, Forest don't have the team that Newcastle have.
No.
They don't. So again, if Newcastle do turn up, then you would expect them to get a result. But I don't think Forest would be too worried about this, though.
No. But do you think this is reality setting in a little bit for Forest? You know, I think maybe a couple of weeks or a week ago, maybe we were getting ahead of ourselves, like, wow, Forest third place. But this could be reality setting in for them, that actually they're going to have an okay season. It's not going to be the best, but it's going to be a good season at the end of the day.
Well, it's probably going to be one of the best seasons they've had in a long time.
But let's not expect them in the top four, because that might be getting ahead of ourselves ever so slightly.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to lay foundations. They've had an incredible start, and that incredible start gets them a top half finish. They'll be happy.
Top half finish, maybe Europa League or Conference League. Yeah, if they're lucky. Anyway, let's move on to Tottenham Hotspur's stadium. And that was Spurs hosting Ipswich.
And again, here they are.
Inconsistent.
Yeah, you just,
that's the word, right?
Yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get with them, do you? You've no idea what team is going to turn up.
I don't know.
Son's back, and I've been saying this, you know, Son's fit again. He's playing, and you're thinking, okay, this is against Ipswich.
Yeah.
Ipswich have been struggling. Yet to have this is their first win.
This is their first win.
And
great win.
Yeah, and what a win it is, away from home as well, right? And you're thinking, this is easy for Spurs. This is a 3-4-1 probably, right?
These aren't the games you lose. These are not the games at home. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, surprises can happen. This is the Premier League. But by all accounts, Spurs shouldn't be losing games like this at home. I mean, you could say the same with us. You know, Forest at home. We lost to Forest at home as well. But gosh, Spurs, they're so inconsistent. You never know what side is going to show up. And you know where the next game is, right? Spurs. They're heading to, I think, the Etihad. They're going to face City.
And they'll probably spank them.
And they probably will, because that's what Spurs do. They are completely inconsistent. So inconsistent. You can't trust them. You just can't trust them.
You can't trust them. Never put any Spurs player as your captain on fantasy football, because they can't be trusted. That's absolutely right. I mean, look, they go 2-0. They're 2-0 down at half time, and you're thinking a team like Spurs should be coming out of the stops in the second half and absolutely going for it. You know, gung ho, right? We got to get this back. Mm-hmm. Showing that mentality. And I mean, okay, they got one back, but come on, you need a bit more, don't you?
Well, they need a three. But Ange came out and he said, "Blame me for the inconsistent Spurs." But I don't know. Is he not preparing the players well enough? Because we had a discussion against Brighton when Brighton came back, beat them 3-2, wasn't it? No, and we spoke about the fact that, you know, the players came out thinking, oh, the job is done, it's finished and everything else, and they let Brighton come back into the game and beat them 3-2, which is something that shouldn't happen, but it did happen, and you know, same thing against Ipswich, a side that they should be beaten.
Mentality thing, isn't it? You're going into it, you're thinking it's Ipswich, they're struggling, they're down the bottom, they've just come up. Okay, this is easy. We're at home. This is a walk. Let's just go out there, play our football, and it's going to happen. Of course, it's not, because no team in the Premier League is going to lay down and say, yeah, of course, like you've got better players than us. You take it. No one's doing that.
No.
And Ipswich, and we said this last week as well, they play football like they mean it. They're not just coming up to sit back and try and get the point here or there. I mean, they're going to go at you, and they're going to have a go at you, and I respect that because for a team that's just come up, you want to see that. You want to see a bit of fight. Mm. And look, it's working for them because they're picking up points, right? That's fine.
Absolutely working for them. So anyway, well done to Ipswich. Very unlucky to Spurs. Let's hope they turn up against City. When they head over there.
Yeah, I hope so.
And let's over to the last game of the roster, which was at Stamford Bridge, which was Chelsea hosting Arsenal. I did watch this game, actually. It was a 1-1 draw. This is a tough one, isn't it? Because you can see what both sides need. Arsenal need a striker. Chelsea, what do Chelsea need? I think Chelsea just a little bit naive, I think. Just, you know, you're not really sure what you're going to get with this Chelsea side as well. You know, you've got, you know, Cole Palmer, just, I know we've been ranting and raving about him, but just, he never showed up, did he? He wasn't there.
Well, this is a problem when you have a player with such calibre that perhaps you rely on a bit too much to get you those special goals and win those games. If he doesn't turn up, then you're in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah. And, you know, it was, at times it was a good game, but at times, my gosh, it was, you know, much like the Everton game, it was a bit boring. It was just like...
But I think they're two teams that are quite evenly matched, aren't they?
Very equally matched, which is, I don't think Arsenal supporters want to hear that they're equally matched with Chelsea. Because this is an Arsenal side that at the beginning of the season would have put themselves in a, you know, a Premier League title race. But now, you know, I think Arsenal supporters are actually now they're saying this is it now.
I think the thing about Chelsea is they have the players to be competing at the top of the table.
Mm.
They just have no stability and haven't had stability since Bowley came in. Too many manager changes.
Yeah.
Too much probably stuff going on behind the scenes.
Too many players.
Yeah. Owners, I think, getting maybe too involved in.
I think so. Yeah.
The players' business as well, which is something you don't really want, I guess, as a player. I think that's all contributed to their kind of like mid-table to, you know, just top half table finishes.
Mm.
They need stability and they need a manager to. I mean, this Maresca looks all right.
He looks okay. Yeah. He looks okay. He's doing a good job, especially with the sheer amount of players that he plays. He has a weird system where, you know, it's a completely different squad playing in the Conference League. And, you know, by rights, Chelsea should not be in the Conference League. They faced a team I've never heard of before, Noah. They beat them 8-0. I can tell by the way you're looking at me that you absolutely do not get involved in the Conference League.
I don't as well.
But I do from time to time like to tune in and see what's going on. And then you look and you see that Chelsea's in there, you know, in the league, in this European league that they should not be in. You know, they're bullies basically. But you know, and but so this Maresca, he's doing a decent job in, you know, he's managing the sheer amount of players that they have quite well.
Well, if you've got that many players, you've got to use them, haven't you?
You have to.
You need to keep your Premier League team fresh. If this if they're the kind of teams you're playing in the Conference League, I mean, I don't, who's,
Noah.
Who would be the best team outside of Chelsea in the Conference League? Do you know? Is there any other big names in there?
Oh, I'd have to look at the league, but there are a couple of Dutch sides I think are pretty okay. Yeah. That could, maybe some French sides here and there, maybe a couple of or one Greek side that could be okay. But by and large, the Conference League is shocking.
So Chelsea should be going all the
way. Oh, they should win. Oh, absolutely. This is a Premier League side. They should win. And if they don't, then something horrible has gone wrong and Maresca maybe isn't the top manager that we're, you know, touting him out to be. But Arsenal, I mean, yeah, Arsenal, they're going to be disappointed. And maybe this is the end of their title race, perhaps. It's a bit sad for Arsenal supporters.
Again, I think it's too early.
It's too early, I know.
I think you get to January and you can start saying things like this.
It's about 8 points behind us now. 8 to 10 points, maybe.
I think they're 9 points, actually.
It's nine.
I think they are. But I mean, the three games, really, isn't it? Three losses, three wins from them, and they're back. I mean, it's not that much of a lead.
It isn't.
Gets to kind of 15 territory, probably not going to lose that many games.
No.
So yeah, I think it's over. But I think come January, February, March, that's when I'm going to start getting excited. If we're still at top of the league, then I'll be like, ooh.
Me?
Maybe.
I get excited in May. That's when I'll be excited. When that title is in our hands, that's when I'll be excited. But before then, I cannot trust City because, you know, you know what you can get. You know what they can do. You know what Pep can do. And this whole sympathy, oh, I've got 13 fit players, I don't buy it. You know, I have that dread, that feeling that, you know, they're going to win 18 games in a row and that will be it. You know, but let's wait and see. I think it's looking like a good season. Whatever happens, you know, I think Slot would have had an amazing season, but let's wait till May and then maybe we can all celebrate together and I'll bring in the champers. No. Not the champers.
Nope, definitely not going to bring it in here.
Definitely, absolutely not. The Ribena.
Ribena.
In honour of Milner, we'll be bringing in the Ribena to celebrate if we do win the Premier League. Mm. But let's wait and see.
Yes, let's wait.
Anyway, that was the football full disclosure. We do have an international break. Boo, which we don't like very much.
We don't.
So we're going to have a week break. What are you doing in your week off? Well, from talking football. I'm sure a lot of work.
Yes, just working, isn't it?
There we go.
And
yeah.
I don't really follow the internationals all that much, I'll be honest.
No, I don't either. And we've got the gold box in the internationals, so that's going to be an interesting one for us next week. You should drop by, actually.
What is it?
It's a gold box.
Oh, I know. I can see it's a gold box.
Yeah, there's a gold box. So the gold box will transport you to another part of the world where students in China will talk to students or people in other parts of the world, like Mexico City, like Nigeria, for example. So actually, yeah, the gold box... It's gonna be a fun week for us in the humanities department. So yeah,
many a football conversation to be had.
There we go. Oh well, we got to talk things like, you know, climate change and fashion. No, but we could get some football in there. We could get some football in there. I'm sure. Yeah. Anyway, that was the football full disclosure. Marty Bailey, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
I'm Dean Sanusi. Speak to you later. Bye bye.
Bye bye.